Welcome in, everyone, on this Wednesday to Redacted. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And on this show, we cover the stories the mainstream media largely ignores. They're absolutely ignoring what's happening in Ukraine right now. The boondoggle, the billions of dollars in wasteful spending and American lives that have been killed actually in Ukraine, and the over 700,000 Ukrainians that are dead. Huge update in Ukraine over the past few hours, where a huge swath of Zelensky's inner circle has been fired, kicked out. And it all comes right after Soros, yes, the son of George Soros, Alex Soros, came to town. Anything coincidental about all of that major changes coming to Ukraine? We'll talk about that in a second.
Oh, no, Clayton, that war is on the up and up, didn't you know?
Right.
Okay, also, California wants to give $150,000 to illegal immigrants to buy houses. What's going to happen? The housing crisis, clearly. Stop me if you think you've heard this one before. Also, Volvo is rolling back its goal to be all electric because that plan is shit. That's why we're going to tell you why Volvo is now the third automaker to pump the brakes on electric vehicles.
Also, we're going to talk about Justin Trudeau because, yes, Trudeau just got roasted, destroyed by a Canadian steel worker. And this comes on the heels of a number of socialist policies that the Trudeau administration, I think, is trying to maybe work in or weasel in before the last of the before he gets kicked out of office. But this video is really remarkable, and it speaks volumes about the socialist policies which have destroyed Canada. And by the way, they're coming to the United States in the form of new housing policies that the Kamala Harris administration is basically hoping to put in place if they become in a full administration, stealing right from Justin Trudeau and the communist policies, the socialist policies of Canada. So we're going to talk about all of that on the show today. So let us know where you're joining us from around the world. Hope you guys are having a wonderful last I guess it's the last heaving of summer right now, because
I suppose we have a few more weeks. The summer ends officially on the 20th or the 21st of September, but it's still hot. It's too hot.
Yeah, I know.
Clayton is just like ready for pumpkin flavored things, like pumpkin JoJo's.
Well, and you know, I grew up in Pennsylvania. The apple cider donuts. You guys ever, Philip? You ever have the apple cider donuts with like a little bit of cinnamon sugar on them? Oh my God.
Yep. Yeah. No, here it's kind of like what I refer to as like shorts and hoodie weather, because it's like it'll be like 90. It'll be like 90 during the day, and then like the evening it drops down quite a bit. So it's like it's shorts and a hoodie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like walking the dog this morning. It's like I could wear shorts, but I also had a hoodie on. It's weird. It's a weird kind of in between. It makes no sense, but I guess my legs don't get as cold. Anyway. All right, let's dive into it. Did George Soros' son Alex just get a whole bunch of people fired in Ukraine? Oh, this is a story you won't see in the mainstream media, of course. We'll get to that part of the story in a second. But first, the story, another story you won't see in the mainstream media. Ukraine is trying to start selling weapons to other countries. Let me just pause there for a second. Ukraine is trying to start selling its own weapons to other countries. At the exact same time, America and NATO countries are sending billions of weapons to Ukraine. So how does that work exactly? Thanks to some great reporting by journalist David Creighton, writing at Human Events, we now know that Ukraine is trying to export and sell its weapons to make money. Think about it. So Ukraine seeks to sell weapons produced by their own defense companies. I just can't really follow this at all. At present, the issue of scaling up production can only compete with the issue of financing it, says Dmitry, the chairman of RADA Committee on Economic Development. So they really want to scale up and move and make as much money as they can right now on their using their weapons. So you'll beg for more weapons and money, and then use that money to build up your own weapons, which you won't use. Instead, you'll sell them. What? Okay. It's a lot like a kid's lemonade stand. You know, the kids don't buy the lemonade mix at all. The parents did, and then the kids are selling the lemonade.
My dad didn't allow that.
And they keep the money, right? How about paying the parents back first?
Oh, like, no. I had to use my allowance money in order to buy the supplies first.
Yes. Yeah. That's a smart parent. Like, I mean, that's
are we buying the weapons from them? Is it like the parents having to pay for the lemonade from the lemonade stand? They don't get a freebie. Like, no, sorry, no freebies from our lemonade
right.
stand.
Right.
Like,
No freebies. But so Zelensky released this video last week, and he posted on Twitter, again, Vladimir Zelensky, the current dictator of Ukraine. Remember, his presidency ended in May, and he decided to stay in power, so he's actually not elected any longer. He is a dictator. Zelensky posted this video on X. Watch.
Bohdana self-propelled artillery system, previously unseen surface UAVs, long-range missiles, and drones. Ukraine already has the weapons to counter enemy's attacks. But as the war continues, Ukraine continues to increase its military production. In the 2.5 years of full-scale war, Russia has launched over 43,000 various types of missiles and glide bombs at Ukraine. One of the most effective ways to counter this is to strike at the carriers of these weapons, Russian aircraft at military airfields. However, allies have not yet permitted Ukraine to do this with their weapons. The state has launched a grant program for private rocket projects, invested in state-designed bureaus, and implemented deregulation to stimulate this industry. And here are the first results. Introducing Polyanitsa, a Ukrainian long-range rocket drone. Almost everything about it is classified, but some details were made public. 2 dozen Russian military airfields are within its strike range. The entire development was completed within an incredibly short period, in just a year and a half. The motivation is significant. The sooner Polyanitsa is ready, the more lives it can protect, and the less suffering the civilian population will endure. Polyanitsa will be launched from a ground platform. The engine is turbojet.
Okay. All of this was developed using Windows 94. Did you see that woman on the computer? Go ahead, Philip. I'm sorry.
I take serious issue with the statement. Like, I'm sorry, but missiles and bombs do not save lives. They don't protect lives. They take them. Negotiation saves lives. Like, that's how peace talks save lives. You cannot.
Right.
A bomb is not designed to protect anything. It's designed to destroy. That's its purpose.
Well, someone was, of course, meddling in the peace talks, right? And this was all happening. So talk about peace talks, right? Right as this incursion into Kursk was happening, peace talks on the table. And then suddenly we get this incursion into Russia. It's convenient how all of this happens simultaneously, right? When we have peace talks on the table, Boris Johnson gets in the way. The United States gets in the way. We can't have peace. We want more war.
Also, it is a little bit infantilizing when you have this video saying we've got these really strong weapons, we're awesome, we know what we're doing, but our mommy won't let us use the weapons they send us against Russia, so we got to do it ourselves. Didn't you sort of get that?
Yeah. And we're going to sell them to make... Okay, so wait, you're going to use our money, U.S. taxpayer money that we sent you. All of this is coming from the United States. All of the money used for this R&D and everything else is coming from us. Go ahead, David.
Well, and the thing is, like, the United States, like, they don't know how to make the jets and all that. We're sending them, you know, these weapons and everything. So I guarantee that the U.S. war contractors are probably building up shops over there, and they're making money tax free. They're probably not taxing them. They probably don't have any regulations. They can make whatever they want. So I'm sure that, like, our war contractors are probably over there building companies right now.
And that's exactly what brings us to the next part of our story. Ukraine is crumbling. Zelensky's regime in Ukraine is collapsing in real time. The failed Kursk offensive left thousands of Ukrainians dead, most of their armored vehicles destroyed, as Moon of Alabama has reported. Even pro-Ukrainian Telegram accounts called Zelensky's decision to attack Russia inside of Russia a death sentence and utterly foolish. Everyone knew it was a death sentence for the thousands of men who were going to basically be used as cannon fodder by Zelensky in order to, I don't know, bolster his own ego in some way. This offensive was all happening, though, while peace talks were set to take place on the table to move forward in some capacity. And now we're seeing the fallout of that failed offensive. Beyond just a few hours ago, we learned that just about everyone in Zelensky's kind of closest inner circle has quit, resigned, or been fired. They're saying resign, but we know the real story here. They're getting out because they know what's about to happen. The dictator in Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky, may soon also be out of a job. How much longer can this guy hold on? Over the past few hours, here's the list of individuals. Thanks to RT for these graphics here. So these are the individuals that have either, quote, resigned or been fired. Dmitry Kuleba, Olega Stefanishina, Irina Virashchuk, Nikolai Olashchuk, sorry, commander of the Ukrainian Air Force, fired, resigned. Okay. Put a pin in Olega for a second because we'll come back. We'll come back to her in just a moment. Here's more. Here's another list. Alexander Kamishin. Denis Molyshka. I'm not going to try to pronounce the rest of these. But these are all fired, resigned, fired, all within the past few hours. All of these firings came, though, very interestingly, the timing of this, just after George Soros' son just came to town, went to Kiev, to lay out his investing plans for Ukraine. Back to what David was just talking about. Journalist Shea Bose was asked this very question this morning about Soros, and he brought up some very interesting coincidences about the investing opportunities in Ukraine and what the future looks like there for, I don't know, defense contractors, BlackRock, Vanguard, the billions of dollars that are going to be put into Ukraine. Can't really do that when you've got bombs falling. Watch.
Last week, we had Alex Soros from the Open Security Foundation NGO, the son of the liberal billionaire, the tycoon George Soros, in Ukraine, speaking about doing business deals post-conflict. You've also got the restoration of the country being one of the top topics by Rothschild & Co. So you have a lot of investors speaking about what's going to happen to Ukraine. And I put it to you, Shea, that when this happens, when you've got so much money at stake, people want return for their buck. And now we're seeing this happening, right?
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And to suggest that this kind of money, the people in charge of the investment in Ukraine, if you like, if you can call it that, the economy is in tatters, if you like, to use the words of a very famous European politician. These people have immense influence. And also, what's interesting, if you look at some of the more important people who have resigned or been fired, like Olga Stefanchina, the Deputy Prime Minister for European and Euro-Atlantic Integration, this would be a post very much responsible for that integration and that connecting with this Euro-Atlantic grouping, which these investors would be part of. Irina Vereshchuk, Minister of Reintegration of the Temporarily Occupied Territories, places like Crimea, Donbass, Donetsk, Lugansk. She has also resigned. And Nikolai Olashchuk, the commander of the Ukrainian Air Force. Now, we've seen this debacle with the first F-16 being brought down with a very experienced pilot, just trained in the U.S., to great fanfare. He was lost, he was killed, and the first F-16. So the commander of the Air Force has also seen his career crash and burn, if you like.
Interesting timing, isn't it? So is Soros trying to reshuffle things in order to carry out peace talks?
Well, the way Zelensky framed it is that these new positions, he's going to replace them and it will give new strength to Ukraine. Who believes that? Who would think, oh, yes, you got to out with the old in the middle of a war? Definitely.
New
Ukraine's
strength.
Going to be stronger now.
Right.
Because the people you told us to trust them to lead to success in a war are out now. Okay, good. Feel good about that.
I mean, or is it that, you know, I mean, here's the thing. Like, Putin wanted to, you know, Putin wanted to negotiate, and he brought up that we can't negotiate constitutionally with a dictator. Mm-hmm. Like, you are no longer in power. You're no longer the president of Ukraine. You're now a dictator. Your term ended in May. Also, parliament is also out of power. And they're no longer technically in power. Who are you going to negotiate peace accords with?
Right.
People who aren't legitimately elected. So who is going to actually be the, you know, de facto dictator? Who's going to be in power right now? And will George Soros' son, Alex, have any say in this as well inside of the Zelensky regime? Will Zelensky be removed very soon? I found this very fascinating because Foreign Affairs magazine just out with a brand new article. Now, Foreign Affairs Magazine, keep this up on the screen if you would, Philip. They have been absolutely in the tank. They are mouthpieces, of course, of the military-industrial complex in the United States. They are mouthpieces of the CIA. So Foreign Affairs Magazine absolutely wants war. They've wanted it for years. They are neoconservatives. They are in the tank on all of this. And these two writers, Michael Kaufman and Rob Lee, we've covered their stories before here on the show. They've been very pro-Ukraine. And any sort of weird boondoggle moves that Ukraine has made in the past, they've supported. But they're really slamming all of these moves lately militarily in Kursk, the ideas to attack Crimea. You need to read the piece. It's a deep piece. But basically, they're saying, who the hell's in charge over there? They don't know what the hell they're doing. They're going to try to attack Crimea. And in Foreign Affairs Magazine, they said it doesn't make any sense at all. It raises more questions than answers. A series of disparate efforts do not a strategy make, they say. Kiev's present theory of success remains unclear, meaning they don't have any idea what it means to be successful against Russia. So all of these people are fired now, and what? Who are you going to put in place? In what strategy will they employ? You're not going to become a member of, you know, NATO, by all accounts. So what's going to happen? You're just going to continue to use this territory as cannon fodder for Ukrainians being killed and weapons being tested? Or is Soros up to something different here? I mean, I'll sort of put it out there on the table. What do you think? I mean, if the money there is there for investment and they want this country rebuilt because now they own all of the land, BlackRock, Vanguard, Soros, mm-hmm. all of these billionaires that now own Ukraine, they're not going to want an unending war in this right. spot. They're going to want investment. They're going to want buildings built. They're going to want to start to rape as many of the minerals as they can from the ground and steal as much as they can from Ukraine.
But unfortunately, most of those mines that are resource wealthy are now part of Russia, and they will not, by all accounts, get it back. So are there other places that they can exploit? Now, if you'd been studying Ukraine for the last 20 years, you'd know the people who worked in those mines had said, Ukraine exploits us. We never wanted to be a part of Ukraine. We send them all of these, you know, treasures that we dig out of the ground. They give us nothing in return. They take for us and give us nothing back. So will now the rest of Ukraine have that be their fate now that the Donbas is no longer available to pillage? That doesn't sound awesome. So if you live in the rest of Ukraine, in Western Ukraine, you might think, I don't want to be the new Donbas, right? So why would you root for this government, this corrupt government? Zelensky is a war criminal.
I mean, you're literally standing in there. Go ahead.
I mean, I don't know what the rules are over there for elections and stuff, but maybe Lindsey Graham could go over there and become president.
Let him.
Yeah, give him citizenship. They'd love him over there. Meanwhile, I don't know if we have this video. This is unbelievable. So this was posted overnight. So we talk about some of these new weapons being developed by Ukraine. These are now the Ukrainian drones, which is now spitting fire. According to reports, it shoots hot thermite. It looks like a dragon flying over, shooting hot, like lava, down on people. I mean, this is like the kind of stuff they're developing now. Maybe they can send this out and start selling it. I guess it's part of the weapons package that, you know, the United States is funding. Lava, thermite. It uses iron oxide, magnesium, is able to reach 2,400 degrees Celsius and fly over Russian positions and just burn people alive.
I mean, isn't
alive.
That technically like a bio kind of weapon, you know, like... Like that is against the Geneva Convention, like chemical weapon?
If it's not, can it be? Let's not right. have that in the world.
Look at that, like scorched earth. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, well, I think it's interesting. All of these firings in the past few hours in Ukraine, what's coming next? Will peace talks now be on the table, or is this a major setback for peace in this area? And will more Americans die? Because Americans are dying there. We now know that a number of foreign officers were also just killed in the past 24 hours there from Sweden were also killed. How many more international troops are going to be killed in Ukraine until they end this madness? As our friend Colonel Douglas McGregor likes to say, make peace now, you fools. So we'll end it there. All right, we've got more news to get to here on your Wednesday.
We're going to talk about California engineering and housing crisis with your taxpayer dollars. Are you so happy to pay your taxes? Because that's what California is going to do. It's a massive wealth transfer to Wall Street. And who acts as the middleman? Illegal immigrants. They get a house. You go out and work on your credit score and save up to get one if you're not illegal, because it's not for you. We're also going to talk about why Volvo is the next company to ditch their EV goals, saying they were going to have an all-electric fleet. That was never going to happen. It's not me that said I told you so, but serious environmental researchers have always said I told you so. So we're going to let them have their say and say I told you so. Also, Trudeau gets nuked. We love this video about a working class man who tells them that he is basically crap. And that's true. He's crap. So this is, we only but serve have some truth
donuts.
Here.
But have some donuts, he says.
We only give you truth on this show, and here is a truth. Trudeau's crap.
Trudeau's crap.
Absolutely crap. Before we get to those stories, though, we want to tell you about something that's not crap. Our friends over at American Financing, because interest rates are dropping, right now is a good time to call our friends over at American Financing. They are a family-owned company that helps people like you create meaningful savings every month so that you can grow your wealth rather than just living cent to cent, paycheck to paycheck. They have salary-based mortgage consultants that look at your full financial picture, all of your debts, your credit card balances that may just be skyrocketing in this terrible economy, and say, hey, you know what? You have some assets you can leverage if you own a home, and we are going to teach you how to do that. Now, this is something that wealthy people know, is that you leverage your asset. You don't just buy something and leave it there. Absolutely not. You use what you've got in order to grow your wealth and free up your cash flow. They're saving their customers an average of $800 a month. And if you start today, you might even be able to delay a mortgage payment or two. So give them a call at 866-890-8434 or head on over to AmericanFinancing.net/redacted. One more time, that's AmericanFinancing.net/redacted. Well, California wants to give away $150,000 to undocumented immigrants to buy a house. And guess what? They don't have to put any money down for this loan, and they don't have to pay that back until they sell the house, which they could just never sell the house. This is so wild. And I got a really good laugh out of this today, like a real belly laugh, because you think, okay, well, maybe California's done some math that I haven't seen. Maybe they've run the numbers and they think they can afford it and it will stimulate the economy. How much do they really think it will cost? Well, this is an actual analysis of the bill, a document that is on the state's website. So California says that handing out $150,000 to undocumented migrants to buy houses will cost unknown significant dollars. This is, how are they doing their math? No.
Who put this together, like an intern? Right.
Like, it's going to cost dollars.
John the intern put this report together.
Why couldn't I use that math? I could have got through all my calculus classes so much faster if my answer could just be unknown but significant, I'm sure. Like, I don't know.
Can we just leave that on the screen for a little bit longer?
Unknown significant cost
pressures.
This is
how California is running their models, you guys. How much is this going to cost the state? Money, dollars.
Money.
It reminds me of...
No, they didn't even say money. It's just unknown. It's unknown significant cost pressures.
That's like legalese for the shoulder shrug emoji. That's what they basically did there. Like,
it will cost dollars and pressures.
Man, there's a bunch of idiots running California. Holy shit.
Definitely. When my daughter was two, I would say, Ava, it's time to go to bed. And she'd say, no, need minutes.
That's
what this reminds me
of. Yeah, it's bedtime. No, need minutes.
Need minutes. We need dollars.
At least that is quantifiable.
Right.
Minutes. Unknown significant cost pressures. We don't know.
It's going to cost everybody, and it will be a lot of pressure. Okay, so here's what this document...
Yeah. One more, but how can that be a budget? Yeah, you can't budget if you've got an unknown significant factor. What are you budgeting for? Like, just, I don't know, like, save $20 billion, I guess. Just set it aside in case. I don't know, like, even that would be a budget. Unknown? Come on.
Right. Yeah. That's hilarious. Okay. Thank you for laughing at that, because I actually did get a belly laugh out of it. And I want you to find it for yourself. So here's what that document looks like. Again, it's the analysis of this bill that's called AB 1840. So have they done their math? No. They're just wild idiots. So given that they're not going to run any economic models on this and see how much it costs, why do they want to do this? Well, here's what they say, that the social and economic benefits of home ownership should be available to everyone, and that home ownership is a fundamental tool for wealth building, fosters financial stability, provides a tangible investment in one's future. What they're saying is that when undocumented individuals are excluded, they miss out on crucial methods of securing financial and personal stability for themselves and their family. So they don't want to limit access to home ownership that will perpetuate inequality, they say. But couldn't that argument be made for everybody, that buying a home is a wealth building tool and that it provides stability and tangible assets? Well, of course, that would apply to anybody's finances, right? But they're saying here that only undocumented people should have this benefit and everyone else should work for it by keeping their credit score high and saving for a down payment and having a salary that qualifies for a mortgage. Everyone else, F off, do those things. You have to do the work. But undocumented immigrants don't have to. This means that the state will pay the person that is selling the home $150,000 towards the purchase of that home. But who pays the state the money to do that? Obviously, the taxpayers. Here's what economist Peter St. Onge says about this.
Bankrupt California would, quote, loan up to 20% of the home's purchase price, meaning it could go for a $750,000 home with zero down payment and, in fact, zero payments until they sell the house. If they're smart, of course, they will never sell the house, meaning they will never pay the loan. They'll just keep living at taxpayer expense. Both programs will, of course, raise the cost of housing, just like subsidized government loans turned university into a $300,000 affair. Free government handouts will raise the price of houses. That means the $25,000 or the $150,000 is a transfer from taxpayers to home sellers. Now, interestingly enough, BlackRock and other Wall Street giants have been on a house buying spree, buying, according to Redfin, more than one in four of the kind of houses these people will be buying. So it's a pipeline, taxpayer to BlackRock, with illegals the middleman, paid with a free house while an American goes without.
Okay, that sounds to me like a government scam.
Like money laundering, exactly.
Do you?
I feel better about it now because I've been worried about BlackRock not financially making it, and so I'm glad that we have a way to pay them or
subsidizing them.
Yeah, with illegal immigrants as the middleman. But why don't the rest of us get to be the middleman for this wealth transfer, I wonder? Because then who would be paying the taxes?
Because we're paying the taxes.
Yeah. Right.
So
yeah.
Somebody has to fit the bill.
Yeah. Exactly. So it goes.
So if you're illegal, you get access to this. But if you're an American, you don't get access to this. Of course.
Yes. Yeah. And then what happens to the rest of us who are homeowners? Well, our home prices will go up, but only temporarily, because then they will plummet when we have the housing crisis that will inevitably come, just like it did in 2008. Now, I have an expired real estate license in New Jersey, and the way that my real estate teacher put it was that post 9/11, the Bush administration wanted to boost the economy and patriotic sentiment, so they encouraged home ownership as the American dream and put pressure on Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to lower the barrier to entry to get a mortgage. So buyers got these truly wild mortgages with no money down, super low interest, but a
ninja
lot of those
loans, ninja no income, loans. No, I love that one. Ninja loans, no income, no job.
Right. Or liar loans, as they were called. Right.
Right.
And so a lot of these people didn't understand them. They either were balloon loans or adjustable rates. And then when that money came due or the mortgages doubled, people didn't understand it and walked away from something. They had very little skin in the game because they didn't put a big down payment down. They're like, well, we'll just abandon the house and default. People started doing that, and the housing market collapsed, leading to a broader financial collapse that all of us now are just barely digging ourselves out of. We still haven't really recovered the losses from that. So, meanwhile, people who did their homework, got into loans they did qualify for and understood and could pay, saw their property value plummet, and that will happen again if these socialist measures pass. It's there. It's written, because We've done the homework, unlike the state of California. Now, technically, what that means is that there's a very, what the bill is doing, the California bill is doing, is that it will give very minor requirements to get these loans, such as no social security numbers or kind of the refugee status or temporary status. It's saying we don't even want those minor requirements. We just want them to be able to walk in, have a heartbeat, and get the money. Now, I can't show you this clip because it's a Saturday Night Live and they will flag me for copyright. But if you've never seen this, I'm just going to show you a still of it. This Saturday Night Live bit where Eddie Murphy is in whiteface and then they just give him money from the bank, no strings attached. Do you know this clip?
Oh, of course. It's classic.
Yes, Mr. White, take it. Yeah. Pay it back or don't. Right. Just take what... This is it. This is what's happening. Only the skin color in question is brown at this point. It's mostly undocumented. Right?
Right.
So why are they doing this? Well, California lawmakers have voted for this. The lawmakers that did vote for this bill are not sure if it will even come to pass because Gavin Newsom may not sign it. Only because we're in an election year. Because if he does, it will remind us that California has Kamala Harris's fingerprints all over it, as my dad says. And what she wants for California or for the country is to look like California. We should remind ourselves of that anyway. The irony is that even if Gavin Newsom signs it, it doesn't mean that the money will be there because the program is broke and lawmakers have not approved more funding. I mean, that doesn't seem to be the way we do things in the United States. We seem to be able to find the money when we want to, but they don't have it right now. Now, Peter St. Ange wraps up nicely as to why Democrats would even try this.
Most illegals are on welfare. They are literally brewing up a 2008 with taxpayer money. So what's next? Brought to you by Unchained.com. Free housing for illegals unites two key power bases in the Democrat Party, Wall Street, and vote buying. This will ramp up house prices that are already out of reach for legal Americans, will ramp up costs of legal immigration, already $450 billion per year and rising fast, and it risks another 2008 crisis when home prices eventually turn down. As always, they're brewing a crisis, and they are already handing us the bill.
Okay. So... No.
This kind of makes sense as to why the Democrats in California just downvoted the no tax on tips, because they're going to need that tip money to pay for this.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what to say about it. It's really depressing.
It sounds fake.
News.
Like, it really sounds fake, you know?
Right.
And it's sad that it's true. I mean, all of these things sound fake to me. Oh, you know, you've just let Colorado be invaded by Venezuelan gangs. You've just allowed America to become the largest child trafficking organization in the world. Oh, you're going to pay illegal, you're going to give illegal immigrants, you know, $150,000 for their for their homes, and they can live there for free, and you don't have to pay a damn thing. Like, it sounds made up.
How rich is that? You'll have illegal immigrants walking past and giving American homeless people money.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, well, we've already documented here on the show these illegal immigrants who have the government issued bank cards where they've got thousands of dollars on those bank cards.
And the scam under which that was chosen in New York City under a DEI program that's costing the city millions. Right. What were you going to say, Philip?
I mean, I see like one of three options here. Like, one, a bill like this gets passed because nobody ever bothered to say it out loud. And so they're like, just on paper, it looked good. But nobody ever was like, wait a minute. That, or is like a group of smart, like educated people sitting around in a room with nobody giving any like pushback. And so then it's just sort of like they just kind of keep ramping it up. Well, what if we gave them 100,000? Wait, no, what about 150,000? Yeah. Or three, it's corruption. And I'm kind of leaning towards the third one.
Well, the first two are not possible because California Republicans have been screaming their heads off about it. So there are people trying to point this out. It's not happening under the radar, but they're doing it anyway. And it would seem that had this not been an election year where, for whatever reason, voters seem to pin Kamala Harris and Gavin Newsom so closely together reputationally, because, they kind of are the same. Both have destroyed California, then that's the only reason they wouldn't do it, is to not hurt Kamala Harris's chance at the White House, it would seem. Well, anyway, we have more news to get to. Is that what you're going to say?
I was going to say that.
Okay. I'll say it. We're going to talk about Volvo ditching their EV plans and a new takedown of Trudeau that we love. because he is a toilet. But first, we want to tell you about our show sponsor, Armra. Now, they are a supplement that helps you bring colostrum into your body. Colostrum is a product. It's not really a product, actually. It comes from the human body. It's evolved over 300 million years ago, and it's the first milk that all mammals produce. It's the first nutrition that we receive in life, and anyone who's ever nursed a baby knows that they tell you this stuff is gold. This is what your baby needs. Well, there's a way to harness the power of this into a bioactive food with Armra. It's a host of protective antibodies, whole food prebiotics, strengthening peptides, free amino acids. It's just basically a supplement that will help you with everything that you need to heal yourself. It also helps with your gut metabolism, and it also helps with hair growth as well, because colostrum has bioactives that have been shown to reactivate hair follicles. So check it out for yourself. We have arranged a 15% off deal for our viewers only by going to tryarmra.com/redacted. Go to the site and see if this is something that could work for you. Read the reviews and again, see if you can harness this wonderful agent into your own body. So the link is tryarmra.com/redacted for 15% off your first order. tryarmra.com/redacted. All right. You doing okay? You need a little break?
No, I'm good. I just want to thank you for the super chat. Gary Hardy says, join the army in 1970 with four buddies, all gone to Germany, Paris, peace talks. Vietnam was done. Then fast forward August 1971, touching down in Cameron, headed to Long Bin for a little tour. Get back to me when Ukraine is really over. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like people can say that it's over, but how long if this military industrial... I mean, we saw Afghanistan...
Yeah.
America's longest war, a boondoggle for the defense industrial complex. How long until Ukraine is actually done and those guys move out of there and the money stops flowing and all of that? Pack Cat says, please talk about Alexa. Yeah, you see this thing going viral?
Oh, yes.
So you can say to your Alexa, Alexa, tell me why I should vote for Donald Trump. And Alexa will tell you that you can't, that Alexa doesn't allow for political discussions and any sort of swaying of the vote. We can't have you know, Alexa telling you that, but then ask, why should I vote for Kamala Harris? And Alexa will give you all sorts of answers about why you should vote for Kamala Harris. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
I'd like to have a question, I'd like to ask Jeff Bezos about that.
It's feminism.
That's apparently.
What it is. All right. As a feminist. All right. Well, Volvo is the latest car maker that's ditching plans to have an all-electric fleet by 2030. Last week, we reported that Ford and General Motors have also walked away from their EV goals. So automakers have been paying lip service to EV goals, but then leaving themselves room gradually to withdraw from that. So if you've been paying attention, we've been seeing this kind of curve where automakers made all kinds of lofty promises about electric vehicles when Joe Biden took office. And then the Biden administration promised that it would build out charging stations. And now that's all kind of petering out because it never was a well thought out plan to begin with. We have brought you that data from Michael Schellenberger, from Bjorn Lundberg, other serious environmental researchers who aren't just trying to throw around green ideas that sound good, but actually the math doesn't work out. What Volvo is saying now is that instead of going all electric by 2030, they're going to aim to turn 90 to 100% of its global sales to electrified vehicles, which also includes plug-in hybrids. So they're saying it won't be all electric. They're going to have some with some electric component, such as these plug-in vehicles, they say, because of a growing consumer demand. Well, we've covered that, how much consumers really want all electric vehicles. Now, hybrids are actually, though, gaining ground. Ford said the same thing when they announced that they would scale back their EV production. And actually, hybrids perform better on the road. Recall this report that we showed you, when was this? In 2023 from Consumer Reports. They found that EVs from 2021 through 2023 model years encountered 80% more problems than vehicles vehicles propelled by internal combustion. So EVs have a lot of problems, and we don't all know how to fix them, and you can't always find a mechanic to fix them. Interesting to note, though, see the green there, that hybrids, and the difference between hybrids and plug-in hybrids. Now, Volvo said they like these plug-in hybrids, but they actually seem to do worse than hybrids that have no plug-in component. So it seems that plug-in hybrids are kind of the worst of both worlds, whereas hybrids that don't have a plug-in component are the best of both worlds, because you maximize your vehicle's gas mileage with an electric component that you don't then have to stop and charge. So Volvo's saying, though, they're still bullish on the plug-in hybrids for whatever reason. So maybe they have some improvement that we haven't seen since that report. Who knows? They say that EVs accounted for 20% of their sales in the second quarter of 2024. But another problem is where these are made, and we've been over this many times, that the U.S. does not mine the components that go into EV batteries. We have them. We are resource rich in the United States, but environmentalists keep suing to stop the mining. So these environmentalists are fine with mining, let's say, cobalt in the Congo, where people get buried alive, kids get cancer, and women have stillbirths. But they don't want the U.S. to do it safely with OSHA regulations because they're ignorant assholes. So where would Volvo even get these batteries? Not in the United States. And in fact, we saw in 2022, Jeep closed a plant in Illinois that made gas-powered cars in order to comply with the Biden administration's EV mandates. Jeep closed this factory and had to lay off 1,350 workers and move that plant to Mexico in order to make EVs that nobody wants. How would you feel if you were one of those people who were laid off to make cars that are not better for the environment and nobody wants? That would feel pretty terrible, wouldn't it? You probably would not be very happy with the Biden administration. Now, even if we didn't have tariffs with China messing up this whole production line, which we do, how the heck would we charge these EVs? Here's a reminder that if a city runs on coal power, EVs are charged with coal, and that's not better. If a city has fossil fuel-powered energy plants, that's how those EVs are going to be charged, so fossil fuels will still be consumed. The only towns that have clean EV stations are those that run on nuclear power, and those are few and far between in the U.S., and especially in California, since Gavin Newsom decided to shut them down because he also is an ignorant asshole, too. But still, the Biden administration is still full steam ahead on EV mandates, because new EPA rules require that 56% of all new cars on the road be EVs by 2032. So then what happens if automakers won't make them, but the law stays in place? We will find out. I mean, you got to think that Trump would void those rules if he takes office, but we don't know, and that's not a sure thing. And also, the Biden administration has not done their job of building out the charging stations for these EVs that they want so badly. The infrastructure bill included $7.5 billion to build 500,000 public charging stations for EVs across the country, but this is how many they've actually built. A whole eight with $7.5 billion, which Philip did the math last week and pointed out that that's about $1 billion of taxpayer dollars.
Per charging station.
Per charging station.
Yeah, I mean, as Dean SNJ in the chat points out, Ford is losing $44,000 per EV.
Yes. Yeah, and we talked about how they're going to write that down on their budget this year. Now, in 2023, The Guardian was warning about this. They published this research from the Climate and Community Project from the University of California, Davis. It points out a lot of things that people who don't worship the nonsensical green agenda altar have been saying for a long time. EVs are a brand new problem. Here's how they lay it out: that the U.S. transition to EVs could require three times as much lithium that's currently produced in the entire global market, causing needless water shortages, indigenous land grabs, and ecosystem destruction inside and outside its borders. It's warning that the U.S. dependent on cars in towns and cities falls drastically. The transition to lithium battery powered vehicles by 2050 will deepen global environmental and social inequities linked to mining. and may even jeopardize this BS global climate target, which we've talked about, and I can give you that math another time. So what are we going to do about it if the states outlaw gas cars, which they may want to do? Well, here's what The Guardian says we do is we walk. They're saying ambitious policies investing in mass transit and walkable towns and cities and robust battery recycling would slash the amount of extra lithium required in 2050 by 90%.
Well, this is exactly what they want, of course, because they want these 15-minute cities.
Right. They Every time I put something up here like this, Clayton says, this is what they want.
Yes, this is what the globalists want. They want these freaking... Well, yeah, go ahead.
Have you ever been to Dallas? Where
like
just driving through town, everything is like six lanes, three going one way, three going the other. Like, where is the walkability? Like, they're not just talking about like, I mean, that's nonsensical because you're not just talking about like the infrastructure around the EVs. You're going to have to rip up all the roads. You're going to have to redesign your cities. Like, what are you going to do? Or are we just going to be like, all right, Dallas, sorry.
That's what they
want.
Well, they do want that. They want a restructuring of these cities. They want these new sort of test bed cities where you're going to have, you know, the sort of Jeff Bezos city, the Bill Gates city. Can you imagine living in Bill Gates city? Yeah, where you won't drive. You will walk everywhere. You'll ride your bike. It'll be a 15-minute city. Everything will be controlled and monitored.
You'll wear a potato sack.
Yeah, you won't have clothes. You won't have clothes. You'll wear, and that's exactly what they want. They want you to walk. They don't want you to commute, and they don't want you to commute to offices. And this is exactly what a lot of big investors are now doing with their office spaces. They're closing them down. They're moving them remotely.
Right. But again, that's not what we signed up for. When we signed up for EVs, we wanted to switch to EVs that we can drive. Not EVs that we cannot drive and then we have to walk, proving even further that it was a scam all along. And anyone who was studying knew that. But
you mean the EVs that you could drive when it gets freezing outside and the batteries will work? Like that type of EV?
I suppose.
Yeah.
I suppose. Go ahead,
Dave. Really Now over on X said, no offense, but 40% of Americans could probably use the walking. So.
Well.
Yeah. Well,
That's a whole other ball of wax, right?
But it's nice to have the choice. It's nice to have the choice.
Yeah. Clayton walks our daughter to school every morning, and she is a beast about it. She hates it.
So. Yeah. Her birthday is coming up on September 12th, and she said, can we take the car on my birthday?
I was like,
my legs are so tired. And I'm like, there's no laziness in the Morris family. Get your ass out the door. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. My legs are so tired. I'm like, you just woke up. How are your legs tired?
Yeah. It's the baby of the family.
She would love a 15-minute city.
I suppose.
Move her to a 15-minute city.
That's the kind of like people you're going to have to live with is babies.
She wants a 5-minute city.
Right.
Oh, my God.
All right. Well, let us know what you think of that. We have more news to get to.
We do indeed. We're going to talk about Justin Trudeau. You know, the socialist policies in Canada have destroyed that country. You know, don't take my word for it. Just ask any hardworking Canadian that has to pay and deal with health insurance or get dental care or try to buy a house in Canada. It's an absolute disaster. If you just want, you know, you want to see a specialist at the doctor, right now you will be waiting until 2025 to see a doctor, a specialist. You got some ear, nose, throat issue you've got to get taken care of, surgery, 2026. That's literally what Canada's health system looks like right now. So we're going to talk about a worker who confronted Justin Trudeau, and it's just a beautiful piece of video, absolutely gorgeous, which we're going to get to in just a second. But first, let me ask you a question. How many of you are concerned that your privacy is being attacked by the radical left? Show of hands, everyone. The deep state, including the DOJ, is invading individuals' private messages, targeting them based on their political affiliation. My friend Tucker Carlson talked about this not too long ago on the Lex Fridman podcast, how he was specifically targeted by the NSA for his journalism, watched, and having his messages watched and monitored. So that's why we've partnered with Freedom Chat, which is a private social messaging app like me that believes privacy is a fundamental human right. Freedom Chat offers true end-to-end encryption, built-in screenshot protection to ensure that no one can screenshot your conversations, no storage or messages on their servers, and no commercial use of user data at all. This is the app. It's an unbelievable app that I trust, and it's the app my friends and family are now relying on to start using, especially as we approach the election. And some people will stop at nothing to maintain power, making privacy protection more important than ever. You can download it right now. Just scan that QR code right there on your screen. Whether you're on Android or iOS, you can grab it. And we've even created our own personal channel right now on Freedom Chat for Redacted. It's just Redacted News. So if you go there, just do a search for Redacted News. We have our own show channel right inside of the app for Freedom Chat. So Redacted News is right there. See it right there. So you can subscribe to our channel if you'd like. And for exclusive content, other images, behind the scenes stuff, videos and things like that, that we're going to post there as well. So simply download the app right now using that QR code. No one can see the channels you're subscribed to, by the way, or the posts that you react to. It's all in your own private news feed. Speak freely and message privately with Freedom Chat. Go to freedomchat.com/redacted or scan that QR code right on the screen. Once again, freedomchat.com/redacted. Well, it's no secret Canada is collapsing under the socialist policies of Justin Trudeau. Everything from housing to healthcare to free speech is in shambles and under attack in Canada. And Trudeau found out how his policies are resonating with average Canadians upon his visit to a steel manufacturing plant where he brought some donuts for the workers. Watch this piece of video as one of the workers lets Trudeau know exactly what his policies have done to his family. This is an unbelievable piece of video. Watch.
We got donuts over here if you want to thank you for your hard work.
I can bring some for my kids.
Okay. The 25% tariffs we just brought in on Chinese steel is going to help you out.
That's going to keep my job, yeah.
That's going to keep your job.
What about the 40% taxes I'm paying and I don't have a doctor?
The $400 million in the investing in the card means you're going to have a job.
I think you're only here for another year. We won't see you around probably another year.
That's what elections are for.
That's right, that's right.
And I look forward to everyone exercising the right to vote.
Yep.
Basic choice, we're going to invest in you and your job.
I don't believe you for a second.
Dental care? Do you know anyone who got dental care?
Yeah, I pay for it myself.
Okay.
We're like 3 years behind.
You have a job and coverage?
Yeah, four people
seniors.
In my family.
We've got
every time we go for a dental visit, it's costing me about $50 in my pocket per person.
Okay.
Why? I have a good job. You're not really doing anything for us, Justin.
Well, actually, we just invested so half a million people who haven't been to the dentist got to go to the dentist over the past few
probably
months.
Probably like my neighbor that doesn't go to work because she's lazy. She
you know
just
what?
Doesn't go to work. She lives the same
Most
way.
Most Canadians try to stick up for each other, and that's what we're going to keep doing.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
luck, and take care of your family,
no,
sir.
No, I'm good. Thank you.
All right.
Have a nice day.
Have a good day, sir.
Good.
All right. All right. The other guys got the donuts. Excellent.
Well, David Creighton broke this story open wide at the Post Millennial. He wrote all about it, and it went viral internationally after David posted this story. And we wanted to bring David on to talk about not only this worker and what the steel workers were saying to Justin Trudeau, but also his policies at large, because there's been a number of big developments on some new socialist policies that the Trudeau government is rolling out. David, welcome to the show. Great to see you as always.
So nice to be back, Clayton.
So this was an unbelievable piece of video and a remarkable moment. Justin Trudeau there thinking that he's going to win the hearts and minds of these steel workers who are working day and night tirelessly with some donuts, but it didn't go his way. What did you make of this? What did you make of this video when you first saw it?
It's fascinating. I saw this very early Sunday morning on the Labor Day weekend. I believe it was CTV actually. Had put it up and really hadn't been noticed until social media got a hold of it. I think I was one of the first to put it up. And it's astounding because just literally a couple of days before this incident with this steel worker, Algoma Steel in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, Trudeau had been bragging to a union audience about how much the workers love him for all of the work he's done and how much they loathe Pierre Poilievre. Because he's an enemy of the workers. It sounded like Joseph Stalin delivering a great speech to the Congress, the Soviet Congress. And of course, he's always got these people in back of him looking very uncomfortable and not really agreeing, but you know they've been forced to be there. And Trudeau was projecting his own fears, of course, in this speech about Poilievre. And he's saying Poilievre is afraid of the union. Polyev is afraid of the workers. Polyev is the one who's taking the rights away of workers. And of course, it was Justin Trudeau who took the rights of workers away with the Emergencies Act. He hates truckers. He can't stand blue-collar right. workers when they disagree with him. So this was a classic moment because, of course, Trudeau is so delusional. I think he actually believes his own propaganda, his own talking points now. So he runs into this steel worker, and he's just assuming this guy's going to say, thank you, Justin, for loving the workers so much. Thank you for doing so much. And yes, and thank you for putting the tariff on the Chinese EVs. That's going to benefit me personally. Instead, this guy just tears a strip out of him, says, look, I can't even find a doctor. Every time I go to the dentist, I'm paying $50 a person. Your dental care plan doesn't apply to me. And he says, my neighbor doesn't work. And she's got the same standard of living as I do. And I work hard as a steel worker. And that is damn hard work. And so here's Trudeau, of course, who's never really set foot in a steel plant except for a photo op, never really meets blue-collar workers except when he's forced to, and they stand behind him at these public events. He's looking like, something wrong here. This guy isn't supporting me. And he looks deliberately in shock. So just to add insult to injury, anybody want a donut? It sounds like Marie Antoinette. Let them eat cake. I mean, it's an obvious reference, but how banal can you get when you start talking about donuts after this?
No, I mean, I've watched this video so many times now, and I encourage you guys to rewind it and watch it because he's so uncomfortable. And you can see how uncomfortable Trudeau is. He turns around. He's like, oh, good, that guy's got donuts. Like, he's one of the guys that's going to, you know, comply with me. He's got donuts over here. But, yeah, I mean, let's talk about some of the substance because the doctor thing, you know, he brings up the fact that he, you know, that he's paying out of pocket, right? We're supposed to have this great healthcare system in Canada we hear so much about. I've spoken to individuals who've told me that for emergency, sure, you could go in and if you have got an emergency, you could probably be seen pretty quickly. But if you've got some other surgery that's needed to be done, whatever it is, you're put on a wait list. I have a friend who told me he can't get in until the middle of 2025 in order to get to see a specialist. That's how terrible things are. And he's coming out of pocket for his dental plan. And he talks about his lazy neighbor who doesn't work, who's being rewarded by the Trudeau government for being lazy. And he's like, I'm out here working while my lazy neighbor doesn't do anything and is fully taken care of. And that, I think, speaks to, I mean, that's really the substance of it, right?
Well, that's it. And to get to the healthcare problem in a sec, but really what this illustrates is that the working class has gone conservative, small C conservative and large C conservative. They're not voting for the socialists in lieu of Justin Trudeau. They're not voting for Justin Trudeau. They've decided that it's the Conservative Party that really looks after the working class because they want lower taxes. That's what matters to them because they're making good money. They don't want the welfare state. They want to make money and keep it. And as to the healthcare system in Canada, it's amongst the worst in the world. You try to find a doctor. I'm very fortunate I have a doctor here in Ontario. I know so many people, and not just my age, but elderly people who can't find a doctor and they need one. Yeah, if you lose an arm and go to emergency, you'll probably get looked after. But if you have something minor, you'll be there for maybe 12 hours waiting an emergency. I try to have a hip replacement surgery in Canada, 8 months minimum. Longer than that. I said a couple of years ago when I wrote an article for the Daily Caller at the time about Bernie Sanders when he was running for president, for the Democratic nomination for president, I think it was in 2020, he needed an emergency heart operation and he got that emergency heart operation. It saved his life. He would have been waiting literally weeks to a month for that same operation in Canada and he probably would have died. That's how bad the healthcare is. Doctors are fleeing Canada in large numbers. That's why it's hard to find a doctor. They're not here. Yeah, it's supposedly a free system, but it's not. Every tax season, Canadians find out how free that system is. Huge part of our provincial taxes, like state taxes in the U.S., those taxes to the province go to healthcare, and it's thousands of dollars. The Fraser Institute has discovered that Canadians, on average, spend more on their so-called free healthcare and taxes than Americans pay on a private healthcare system.
What's amazing about this video, too, with this gentleman is that he's calm, cool, collected, and reserved. And he knows how his family has been affected by Trudeau's policies. He's not shouting. He's not yelling. He's not insulting him. He just says, I don't believe anything you're saying because you've basically lied to us. It's not helping our family. It's hurting our family. And all of these things that you get out on television and talk about are complete lies. And, of course, one of the things recently that Justin Trudeau has been talking about is his housing policy. And this sort of shocked all of us because, you know, hardworking Canadians right now are finding it incredibly difficult to even afford housing. Housing in Canada has absolutely skyrocketed for just trying to find a three-bedroom, two-bath house. The prices are astronomical. And now he's come up with a new boondoggle. Can you talk about Trudeau's housing plan?
Oh, this is incredible. When I first heard it, I thought, my God, we're going back to feudalism. This is the Middle Ages. Trudeau's brainwave was to lease government property. And there's obviously acres and acres of government property around Canada that's not being used. Large numbers of it for national defense property, for instance. So Trudeau's idea is to lease, long-term lease these properties to developers, to contractors, who can then build apartment complexes, yes, more Soviet-style block housing, or private family dwellings on this property. The problem is you'll never own the property your home or your condo or your apartment is on. You'll never own it because it's owned by the developer. Now, it seems to me this was an economic system that we tried in the Middle Ages during that horrible medieval period when people for the rest of their whole lives worked for a landlord as serfs. It was called feudalism, and that's what Trudeau seems to want to re-engage with here in Canada. It's a whole new kind of feudalism, but it's totally in keeping with the WEF globalist idea of you'll own nothing and be happy. And this obviously is a globalist agenda. We don't want to own property anymore. No, that's just a nuisance to own something. So you'll just have your house. God knows you might not even own your house either. That could be a lease as well. If it's even a house or an apartment, maybe it's just going to be a tent sitting on government property that you can never hope to own. It's a nightmare.
I mean, how is this? I'll just get you out of here on this, David. How is this video, this interaction with this worker? Sometimes these are really galvanizing moments. You know, it could take one of these sort of tipping point moments, right? You remember Joe the plumber? Like, you know, those little moments that are captured on camera that sort of reverberate across a country. How is this playing in Canada? What has been the reaction among average Canadians to this video?
Absolute outrage and laughter at the same time, because this video was initially played by CTV News. And it got little airplay until social media latched onto it. Since then, it's been seen in India. Fox News has played this. CNN has played this. It's been shown around the world on social media and on mainstream media outlets. Canadians are saying, this guy has dug himself such a big hole. He'll never get out of this. And he seems to be so delusional. He doesn't understand the depth of the anger from working class people that Trudeau still believes he appeals to, even though there's nothing about Trudeau that's appealing to working class Canadians, from his silly colored socks to his obsessions with gender ideology and other issues that really mean nothing to people who have to work hard for a living, to his elitist ideas about COVID mandates and his absolute abhorrence of the truckers who came to Ottawa to protest those mandates, calling them racist and misogynistic. He lives in his own little ivory tower in Ottawa and Montreal, these two cities he runs back and forth to and from. He has no relevance anymore to working Canadians or to any Canadians outside of that little microcosm that Trudeau calls home.
Well said, well said. Well, fascinating. It's great to see this. I love this video. I love this video so much. David Creighton, great to see you. Great work over at the Post Millennial. Thank you for your continued great work, and we appreciate it as always. Thanks, David.
Thank you so much, Clayton.
Yeah, I've watched that video many, many times. You can rewind it and watch it for yourself. So thanks, David, for all of that and that great context there. We appreciate it. I'd love to hear from my Canadian viewers as well. How do you feel about that? I mean, regardless of Canada or the United States, I think it really sums up just the pain that people are feeling right now under these socialist policies. And it's really, really deeply disturbing where we are headed. Communism is coming fast in this country and in Canada as well. Grover is excited about, you can hear him barking up there, because we have some new items over at the Redacted Store. Head on over to redactedstore.com if you want to support independent journalism and, you know, show your love for the show and pick up some stuff for the fall. We've got some fall hoodies over there and some other things we're working on, but check out some of the different sizes and things as we start to get into this cooler season. Perfect time to pick up some fall hoodies right now over there at the Redacted Store, and we really try to keep the prices down to just like the printing costs of these things. We don't mark the prices up very much at all on these items. So please check it out, redactedstore.com. We'll be back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. We've got some special guests lined up for you tomorrow here on the show. So thank you guys so much for being a part of our great community here. Thank you for subscribing. And we'll be back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern Time live. Have a great rest of your night, everyone.